I want to thank everyone for coming today and hanging out here in New Orleans for another day despite bad weather. And as a resident of the state, glad you came and spent a few dollars, and we appreciate the opportunity to host you again. The presentation today is basically based off some new funded project from USDA Ag Marketing Service and their Federal State Marketing Improvement Program, and they were very interested in funding some marketing-based research with cotton, and so we were able to work with them to look at the ginning industry and look at the infrastructure issues, transportation cost issues, and how that might have some type of impact on the overall cotton supply chain. Basically, this project just started late last year and will be going on for a total of 2 years. It's a pleasure, and I want to give some thanks to Tim Price and those with the Southern Cotton Ginners Association. They funded an initial impact analysis study for cotton ginning, and that research helped to provide support for USDA to decide and fund this current research project. It should be noted here, I want to recognize my co-authors, Kenneth Paxton, a longtime cotton economist with the LSU Ag Center and the Ag Economics Department, and our GIS specialist, Ms. Wiesen Mutnu. The project overall has three main objectives, and that's to evaluate geographic capacity of ginning infrastructure. Basically, from the question that has sort of been in vogue as cotton acreage has declined and gins have chosen not to operate, would there be sufficient ginning infrastructure supply, not just in total but geographic infrastructure? Look at these traditional cotton growing regions that may be vulnerable to capacity and what their economies and the individual producers' returns would be without cotton as a commodity option because of the lack of capacity, and then to evaluate some alternative gin seed rebate models. Today's presentation, since we're very early on in the project, is basically focused on a portion of the first objective, and in particular focused on one state, Louisiana. As a presenter in a number of associations, a lot of times there is a tendency to try to have some type of local study, and I guess you could consider this one since we're going to focus on Louisiana. However, the project also includes portions of the states of Mississippi and Arkansas, so we'll be adding those to this analysis going forward. Basically, what we have done here is that we've tried to look at, we've obtained data on gin locations and cotton fields within the state. And what we've done is we've taken basically 2 years, the 2006 year, the last year in Louisiana where we had measurable acreage, and compared it to our most recent cotton fields and acreage for the 09 year. And then we do a little bit of adjustment to look at some scenarios if we have a cotton rebound. We're fortunate enough for our Louisiana data to have support from the Ag and Forestry Boll Weevil Eradication Program, as well as some data support from Tim Bryce and the Southern Cotton Ginners and the Louisiana Cotton and Grain Association. Basically, what we have in the data set that we're going to show some maps on here in a few minutes is approximately 6,700 cotton fields that equal about 635,000 acres in Louisiana in 06, and the 09 data that we look at is based on a little over 2,400 fields comprising 240,000 acres. If we look at the Louisiana profile for 2006, one of the things you'll notice is that the average distance from field to gin, and it should be noted that this is as a crow flies distance, okay? One of the updates we're going to be doing is using primary roads and or secondary roads and using some road distances, and that's the next stage of the project in this objective. And so the average distance was about 7 miles, and as you can see here, the middle or the median was just under 6. The percents here below represent the percent of total fields that were within 5 miles of a closest gin, 10 miles of a closest gen, 15 to 25. It should be recognized that there's an understanding that fields and producers that have those fields don't always choose the closest gen, but from a standpoint of sort of looking at it from a ginning industry perspective, we use this sort of as a baseline. And so what you can see is as the crow flies, almost all of cotton fields that were in Louisiana in 06 had a gen within 25 miles. And that's interesting in the context in that when we did the 07 ginning cost survey, worked with Tommy Valco, we added some additional questions. We asked the question, what was the average maximum distance that your gin would travel to pick up a cotton module? And the average maximum distance was around 35 miles in the five-state Mid-South region. This is information in terms of the yellow represents the cotton fields in 06. The red dots represent the gin locations. For those of you that are not familiar with the state of Louisiana, this represents sort of the Mississippi Delta area. The western boundary represents the Ouachita River. It runs down here around Jonesville, comes to black, comes down to the Red River. Here's the Red River Valley, comes down in here to the Old River Control Structure that shifts into the Atchafalaya and the Mississippi basins. And so we have two of these historical regions. What we've done here in the next slide is we've overlaid some buffer zones. Those represent the 5, 15, and 25 mile as a crow flies distance buffers around each of the respective gens. And so as you can see, if we look at the yellow dots, we have pretty much almost every field in 06 covered by a gen within that buffer. If we go and look at 2009, what do we see? We see the average distance in 09 has gone up by a mile and a quarter, approximately. The median just under a mile in distance. And as you can see, some adjustments here. However, still 98% of all fields are within 25 miles of a gen. Should be noted, however, is that the reality is that we had, of course, only 2,000 fields as compared to 6,000 fields in 06, and so as a result, you could have had fields that were not in production that would have been further away if we looked at the 09 gen, and we'll get to that in a second. If we look here, here is our 09 gens. Again, our fields will overlay the buffers to move along, and as you can see, we're still covering most, although we have some that are starting to get out to the edge of the 25-mile buffer. This is right along the Ouachita River plain, the Ouachita River here to the west. We had some gens that closed down that were serving or had the opportunity to serve over here. Another thing that you start to see is that the Red River area is highly dependent on the few gens that are there. If you did lose some, you would start to have some increased distance. So what do we do? If there was a cotton rebound, what would our current capacity, how would it be able to handle that, okay? It should be recognized here when we've done this analysis, we haven't looked at anything currently in terms of gin capacity. So when you looked at rates per hour, or sort of average bales that have ginned over their historical period, that's going to be some of our future research and sort of weight some of these maps, but this gives us sort of a baseline to work with. Okay, so what we did was we basically took the 2009 gins and we overlaid them with the 2006 fields. Okay, we had, I think it was in the mid-40s in the number of gins in Louisiana in 2006. We were down to 31 according to counts and data provided by the Cotton and Grain Association and the Southern Cotton Ginners. And so we wanted to look and see what our geographic capacity looked like. So if we look at the 09 gens with the 06 fields, we still see that these statistics don't look necessarily poor. However, we do start to see some interesting trends that are starting to develop. Okay, we'll move on here. What you see here is basically, again, the green represents the gens that operate in 06 and 09. In fact, all the gens that operate in 09 in Louisiana also operate in 06. The red represents those gens that were operating in 06 that were, did not operate in 2009. And so you start to see some patterns that are occurring. You see, not complete, but you do see some gens not operating on the western edge of the Mississippi Delta and Ouachita Plains. You also start to see some gens here going away, and so, of course, the red ones, we don't have the buffer zones around, and so now we're starting to see some of those fields, particularly down in this area, have a little bit further to travel to their closest available gen. Should be recognized for people that don't have an appreciation for agricultural production. In that part of the state, those farmers have probably more options for commodities than any other, because in addition to sort of traditional cotton, soybeans, grain sorghum, et cetera, down in here they also have sugar as an option. Okay. So our next steps here in this analysis is to look at some sensitivity analysis to road distance. And so that's going to allow us to take into account the realities that, given our road infrastructure and locations of rivers and other places, that the as a crow flies distance is going to underestimate that. And also look at some issues if we choose to restrict some road usage, because we do have some particular areas, I can't remember if Louisiana is one of the states, but some of the other states where you're having to get specific permits to run your module trucks on interstate highways, etc. Like I said, weight the fields by acreage and incorporate the gen capacity measurements. At this point, we've just really looked at a spatial geographic analysis. We haven't looked at hadn't put any economics into that, and that's sort of, as an agricultural economist, something that we have an interest in. And one of the things that it should be noted is we want to incorporate some of the additional variable costs to those remaining genders from hauling longer distances and evaluate that on industry costs from the reducing infrastructure. And then also to get a better perspective on how, if there was any type of sharing or transportation costs from gender to producer, either directly or indirectly, would impact production. And I know there's some anecdotal cases, while the traditional trend from our 07 survey suggested that still the predominant majority of the genders cover the transportation costs. Visits with some of the individual genders suggested that for those modules that were longer distances, that they were sharing some of those costs with the producers. So to understand how some type of sharing or transfer would impact production acres, and as well as certain types of technology adoption. There are some interesting dynamics that some of the new cotton picking technology would have on moving from module trucks to more standardized transportation trucking options, and how that might result in the way haulers pick up those particular types of bales, and how they get to the gen, and how the gen might handle those as well. What ginning options do I have nearby? And this is one from the producer's perspective. And this is sort of the final set of slides we want to focus on. What we did was in 06, we said, here was the nearest gen. These were the statistics that you saw before. We said, what does the second closest gen look like, and what does the third closest gen look like? And so you can see, on average, you move from your closest gen, your next closest gen in Louisiana, it's about 4 additional miles. To the third gen in 06, you went up about another 5 miles. Still, in 06, almost 90% of Louisiana gens had a gen within 25 miles. When we go to 2009, what do we see? We see some of this expanding a little bit, up to as far as 20 miles on the average for your third closest gen. And we come down here to this number. We have, for the third closest gen, the fields in 09 still had, they were about 72% had within 25 miles. So now you're seeing closer to about 30% of the gens are outside of a 25 mile as a crow flies distance. And the final one was, as we did before, with a rebound, the 06 fields against the 09 gens, and then that drops to just under 70%, and this jumps up to a little over 21 miles. What are the implications? We talked about that. There are some issues as this number goes down, although suggesting that within your area you're going to lose not just your first and your second closest gen is a lower probability than you just use your closest gen. But it's something to sort of take into account as a sensitivity analysis to where our capacity is and vulnerabilities for gen and capacity infrastructure. And given that we have this survey of this maximum distance of 35 miles, the most Louisiana producers with 09 gens subject to adjustments for acreage and capacity still have relatively sufficient gen capacity. However, if we have those reductions below 31 continue, some of those distances will grow. I think in terms of conclusion, we know that contraction has occurred here as well as in other areas in Mid-South and other parts of the belt. We still have sufficient as of 09. Technology adoption, I think, has opportunities to have an impact on this dynamic in terms of our ability to handle higher acreages from our previous years, whether that's through technology of genners adopting to alternative bale structures to things such as going to try to generate revenue through quality-based improvements, such as the anecdotal models have been used where trying to use the gen to generate higher quality cotton outputs and the use of technology feeds, et cetera. Again, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to presenting future research from this project.